be back in Atlanta after a space of 3 weeks, and I bless God for His goodness and His mercy that has been with me from the time I traveled from here. If you remember, I traveled at a time when it was snow and everything was shut off. I didn't even know if my flight is going to take off, but I praise God for His goodness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. He gave me a good time in India. I had actually for 2-3 years, I had two desires in my mind. One was that I wanted to go back to my hometown where I was born and where I lived the first 26 years of my life. I wanted to go back. It's been a long time. I wanted to go back there. The second thing was that I wanted to go on a mission trip. Many times we preach within the church, and I always felt that we are called to be a witness and preach the gospel. I felt that my life was not complete unless I do that. So I made a decision of that. And when all this came about, this beginning of February, I took a chance and I went. I was 3 years. 3 weeks. Initially, I went to my hometown in Rourkela, and our school had a Golden Jubilee celebrations. 50 years our school founded, all of us met after 32 years, and we had a good time. And then I went to Delhi. God gave me some ministry opportunities. Spoke to a pastor's conference in Delhi, and also I spoke in a Bible college, Grace Bible College in Gurgaon, Delhi. In a chapel service, and I also spoke to the students who were studying for the masters. Wonderful time I had in Delhi. Went to an area meeting, went to a youth meetings, spoke there. God blessed many people in Delhi. But more than that, when I went to Tamil Nadu, I cannot even describe in words how wonderful it was. Went to some interior villages where people are Hindus, and could preach the gospel in so many different locations, in villages and schools, in a nursing school, in a polio home, even for a pastor's conference. God gave me, every day was packed. They had arranged for meetings for 2 weeks continuously. God used me in many places, spoke the gospel. Many people came to the Lord. I don't have the numbers, but I just want to say for the glory of God, God has been good. And God gave me a wonderful time in India. And I praise God, because this was a desire of my heart. I wanted to do it, and God allowed me for that. I praise God for it. All glory and honor be to God. Can we lift up our hands and just praise the Lord? I don't want to say any numbers, but I want to say that God has been really good. And many people came to the Lord who are in Hindu religion. Let me tell you, healings are taking place in India more than here. People believe that Jesus heals. Deaf are hearing, blind are seeing, the lame are walking. There's amazing healing testimonies that I heard from people who come to the faith, Hindus. They believe truly that Jesus is Lord and God has been working. So it's been a wonderful time, and I praise God for it. Just wanted to say a few words as my testimony before I speak from God's word. Over the last 5 weeks, we have been hearing on the topic called choices. And I am today going to end this topic with a title called Choose Discernment. Choose Discernment. We have been studying from the book of Joshua. And over the last 5 weeks, we have looked into choosing faithfulness, choosing courage, choosing to remember, choosing radical obedience, and the last week we heard about choosing holiness. And these six choices are from the book of Joshua. Each time when there was a challenge, they had to make a choice. And that was what happened in each of the times. And I believe the previous speakers have already spoken on each of the areas. Today I'm going to speak from Joshua chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Joshua chapter 9. The challenge in Joshua chapter 9 was that there was a deception that was taking place for the people of Israel. And the choice to be made was that they had to be discerning as part of what was going to happen. And Joshua chapter 9 and verses 3 onwards, we read about a group of people from the land of Gibeon. When they heard that Israel was it says that in verse number 3, when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. They took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins, torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves, and all the bread of the provisions were dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said, that we have come from a far country. Therefore, make a covenant with us. I want us to understand that the children of Israel, when they would go to possess the land of Canaan, the word of the Lord was that they should not allow anyone to live on this land. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 7, where Moses is speaking to the children of Israel, in verse number 2 it says that when the Lord your God delivers 7 bigger nations greater than you, what you should do is you should conquer them and you should utterly destroy them. You should not allow them to live. And in the later part of verse number 2 it says, you shall make no covenant with them nor show mercy to them. This was what God wanted from the children of Israel. They should never make a covenant with the inhabitants of Canaan, because they were people who were having wrong religion. They were idol worshippers. So God said, you cannot make a covenant with them. Now here, we see that these people, the Gibeonites, they are coming to Joshua and to the Israelites, and they are trying to deceive them. You see all what they did. And they came, and we see what happened. They say that we were from a far country, and they brought all these things to Joshua. And what I want to mention is 4 words that all young people should understand about this matter. There are 4 words that I want to bring forward. Number 1 is knowledge. Knowledge, we see these 4 words in the Bible. Knowledge is information. Information is knowledge. That's the number 1. Number 2 is understanding. Understanding is the, when you assess the knowledge, and when you are able to integrate the knowledge in your life, that is the second one called understanding. The third word is called wisdom, which we read a lot in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is when you apply the knowledge into particular situations in your life, which means that when you have the knowledge and how you are going to apply it, that is called wisdom. So how you apply, when to apply, at what proportion to apply, that is where wisdom comes in. But then there is a 4th word called discernment. Discernment is a specific kind of a wisdom where you have the ability to discern the truth from the lies, which means you should be able to know if somebody is speaking a truth or somebody is speaking a lie. And that is the gift of discernment. Now, in the New Testament, we have a spiritual gift called discerning of spirits, or the spirit of discernment. But that is something that God gives to His children. But then, the ability to see the truth from a lie is something that God requires from all mature people. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, where the writer of Hebrews speaks about that once you are matured in Christ, you have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Just imagine a child, a baby crawling on the floor. The child doesn't know what is good to eat. It will pick up anything and put in the mouth. But when you are older, the more older and mature you are, you can discern what is good, what is not good. And that is what God is expecting from a believer in Christ, that we need to know what is right and what is wrong. We need to understand if somebody is telling you a truth or a lie. And that is the ability that God gives. So in the case of the Gibeonites, we see that they were able to put a show before the children of Israel. It says that they did everything very deliberately. And they came to Joshua, and they deceived the children of Israel. You see, they told to Joshua and the elders that they have come from a far country. That was far from the miles south of Ai. And it was very close. It was not a far country at all. But then why did the Gibeonites do this? Why did they deceive the children of Israel? For that, if you look to verse number 24, it says that the reason why they did was that because they were afraid. They had heard that God had commanded the Israelites to kill everybody. They did not want to die. They would rather be servants. And so they came and they deceived the children of Israel. It says that we were very much afraid for our lives because of you, and we have done this thing. So they deceived, and what happened then? Once they gave out all this about their life, and they showed all that they had, you know, they brought out dry and moldy bread, the wineskins were torn, their garments, the sandals were all old, and they showed all the things to show that they were from a far country. You know, Joshua and the elders did the biggest mistake. In verse number 14, he says that the men of Israel saw the provisions and they did not ask the counsel of the Lord. Many times in our lives, we tend to make decisions without asking God's counsel. God requires from us to understand what is His knowledge. Many times in situations like choosing a job or choosing a life partner, many times you are going into emotional decisions, and without asking God and without hearing from the people, you are taking some rash decisions and you pay for that in the future. Now in this, there were three things that the Gibeonites appealed to the children of Israel. First, they appealed to the truth. If you see verses 9 and 10, it says that we had heard that the Lord God had delivered you and you had won great victories over two kings of the Amorites, Sihon and Og. They said the truth, they appealed to the truth, and the children of Israel just believed it. That was the first thing. The second thing is that they appealed to the power. They said that we want to be your servants. We don't want to be as equal with you. We want to be your servant. You can have the power. And they appealed to the power. And the third thing is that they appealed to the compassion of the children of Israel. They showed their condition that was bad. In verses 12 and 13, they said that, look at us. We are in a bad situation. You know, have compassion on us. So they appealed to all these things, and we see that the children of Israel were deceived. In verse number 14, we give the reason why the children of Israel were deceived. They did not ask the counsel of the Lord. Many times in our lives, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we make many decisions because of our emotional or because of our historical aspect. We don't ask if this is according to God's plan and God's purpose. And so God allows it. God will not stop us from doing it, but that is not part of God's perfect will. Because I believe that everything in our life should be according to the perfect plan of God. God has a plan. And unless we know what is God's plan, maybe for our individual lives or for our family or for our church or for our community, whatever it is, we need to know what is God's plan. We should not try to push in our own agenda and our own plan over God's plan. Because when that happens, we are in trouble. Just like in the case of the children of Israel, it says that in verse number 15, Joshua made peace with them. And against the word of God, it says, he made a covenant with them. He made an agreement with them. He made a deal with them and said that you can live. And they swore on that covenant. You know, it was a sad situation. Joshua had never in that way gone, but this time they did not even ask God. You know why? Because they were so much, you know, in a situation where they had victory over Ai and Jericho, and they thought they know something. Many times we think we know something, but let me tell you, the light of God's word, we know nothing. We do not know the ways of God. We do not know the thoughts of God. We have hardly any understanding about God's greatness. We think that we have a lot of experience, but our experience and our knowledge is nothing when it compares to what God intends for us. So many times we need to look to God and ask for His help in every time, and we need to be humble. In the case of Joshua, they made a biggest mistake. They had accepted this group of people to live among them, Canaanites, who later on dragged them into idolatry and dragged them into the ways of the people of Canaan. We, as the children of God, this is a good spiritual lesson for us. Many times, because of emotional ways, we make compromise with many things, not knowing that this is not God's plan. God will allow us to continue, but the end result is not going to be good. Because one day when we look back, we will understand that God said, I never told you to do that. You went on your own, you did it, now you will bear the consequences. So what are we to do? Now, let me come to the end of my short presentation here, my short word here. What do we do? We don't have wisdom. In James chapter 1 verse 5, it says, if you lack wisdom, it says, you ask God. The first thing we need to do, ask God for wisdom in any particular situation. We need to be intentional in seeking the mind of God and asking for wisdom and discernment when things come against us. And to ask God, we need to be humble, which means we need to say, Lord, I don't know everything. You know everything, so let me come to you, because you are the source of all wisdom. We need to ask from God, and we need to be humble. And how is the evidence of wisdom? If you turn with me to Psalms 111 and verse number 10, it's a very, very a verse that we all know. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The first step is that we need to be fearful of God, and that is the first step how we can understand His mind. A good understanding have all they who do His commandments. We need to fear God, and we need to do the commandments that God is telling us. There is another verse that I want to take you to, Psalms 25 and verse number 12. It says that who is the man who fears the Lord? How does we fear God? He says, Him shall He teach in the way He chooses. When we fear God and we go to Him for wisdom, God will teach us the right thing and the right things and the steps that we need to take. And that is how what we need to do. But instead, many times we reject wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Many times we despise what God wants to tell us, and we go in our own ways, and we are in big trouble. So this morning I want to tell you, we have to make the right choice and be discerning every part of our life. Many times there are major decisions that we have to take. Let me tell you, the best place to go is is to the presence of God. And ask God, Lord, I need wisdom from you. I need this understanding from you. You teach me the right way. So, let me end up with saying there are four ways how you can develop discernment. Number one, we need to have a passion to know the truth. And that truth is available in God's word. This is the knowledge. When you go and read God's word, He will let us know the truth. Once we know the truth, we can understand the difference between truth and falsehood. You know, in order to identify a counterfeit note, a currency note, people are made to understand the real currency. You have to study the real currency to understand if there is a fake, counterfeit currency that comes to you. In order to understand falsehood, we need to understand what is truth. And the truth we can only understand is from God's word. This is the beginning of truth. That's the number one. Number two, we need to look at people and try to understand. Many times, people are deceiving. One of the things I've learned in my life is that they may smile at you from the front, but they have a dagger behind you, ready to strike at you at any moment. They speak bad about you in the backside, but outside they come and smile and speak good to you. We need to be discerning and know how people are. That's the second one. Third is that our past experience will help us to make the right choices. Many times in the past, in my life, I've gone through so many mistakes that I did, and now that helps me to make the right decisions when I'm again coming to that particular step. Finally, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, because Jesus has given His Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. In John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13, it says the Holy Spirit will direct us and will lead us to all truth. So when we need the truth from God, allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and direct our steps. So as I'm closing up this study of choices, we need to choose discernment. The final verse I want to mention is 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says that Satan should not take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, the Gibeonites took advantage of the ignorance of Joshua and the elders. They were able to penetrate and they were able to live among them. Even though they ended up in slave becoming servants to them, but they did it out of deception and they did it against the word of God. In our lives, let us be sure that we will look to God and turn to Him for wisdom. Can we close our eyes for a minute? All of us, can we close our eyes? Ask God, Lord, these days as we are walking in our journey of life, help us to know what is the truth and let the truth set us free. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given us. Thank you for this series that we studied of making the right choices. We learned to make the Lord about many choices that we have to make in life. Help us to be true and make the right decisions in our life. I pray that you bless us all. Lord, give us a heart of wisdom and a heart of understanding that we may know the truth and we may walk in your ways. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.